The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. And hopefully that you are glad this morning to be among fellow Christians. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As long as I carry my burdens alone, I don't need a burden bearer. As long as my situation brings me no grief, I will receive no comfort. But when I mourn for my sins, when I mourn for the sins of others, the griefs, the sorrows, the suffering of others, when I'm willing to admit that I have no other option and I bow my will to His will, then I will cast all my cares upon Him, for He cares for me. When there's truly no other name that I can call, then I must call upon His name. I must cast my burdens on Him, for He is there for that purpose, to give me comfort, to give me rest. These words were adapted from statements made by Max Lucado from his book, The Applause of Heaven, and massaged a little bit by yours truly. We continue our study this morning in the Life of Christ series. We've studied in that series for the last several weeks. This point in our study, we're focusing upon the Sermon on the Mount. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Matthew chapter 5. It's usually among my friends that I say at this point, if you don't have your Bibles with you, your excuse to go home and get it. No, but I won't say that. Matthew chapter 5. Seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth, and He taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. First three of what we refer to as the Beatitudes. We studied the first two. Number one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We note that there are three distinctive parts to each of these Beatitudes. There's the ascribing or the assigning of the blessing by the use of the word blessed. And then there's the character or quality of life for which the Lord is blessing someone. That is, they that mourn, or the poor in spirit, they that mourn. And then there's the section that's the promise blessing. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They should be comforted. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? We discussed that last week, or week before last. To be spiritually destitute. When we come to Jesus and what Jesus wants of His followers, and what Jesus is really talking about in the first year or so of His ministry is what John the Baptist taught when he introduced Jesus to the world. He said that Jesus would come and He was preaching the kingdom of God is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so Jesus came forth preaching that same thing. Chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But who would be worthy subjects of His kingdom? What would his subject be like? How would I become a subject of that kingdom? That would be a question that would be asked there in the first century. What are you talking about? Multitude of people gathered around. The 12 apostles, those chosen to be close to him. They're studying, they're learning, and he's teaching. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who, because they feel that they and see that they are spiritually destitute, will seek outside resources because they have no spiritual resources in and of themselves. This is the person God wants. This is the difficulty we have in this country in finding folks to come to God and come to Christ in that fashion, because here we're self-made people. We have that dream of a home. Everybody having a job. Everybody having a family. And then a lot of people, and that's the problem with some of the CEOs of and the big shots in politics these days, really, without getting into the political party. They thrive on power. They thrive on greed. Now, you think those folks are easy, that the gospel can break into that type of character, that type of ideal of life? That's not the quality of life. That's not the character of life that will be in the person who will seek the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. For they will not mourn for their sins. They have no sin. Make mistakes. Well, most people don't even make mistakes. I did something wrong. You sometimes kiddingly say myself, you know that. Yeah, I remember one time I made a mistake. I thought I made a mistake. And that was the mistake. You see how silly I think. Blessed are they that mourn. Those that mourn for their sins, they mourn for the sins of others, they mourn for the suffering, despair that others have. Not just anybody that whines about any and everything. Today's lesson, though, is the third beatitude. If you have any water, feel free to drink. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We'll look at the word blessed, and then we'll look at the word meek, and we'll look at they shall inherit the earth. That's a three-part sermon for any preacher to grab hold of. The word blessed, as we mentioned in the previous lesson, means that it's an inward state of an individual that's not affected by outward circumstances. Boy, don't you wish we could get to that point? We'd get to sleep quicker at night, wouldn't we? We'd be able to solve problems more easily when they come up, rather than still thinking about yesterday's problems that we weren't able to solve because we tried to solve them by ourselves. Something we said that we shouldn't have said, should have been left unsaid, or we should have said, or we should have done. It's thought of in the first century as the highest possible happiness that a man can enjoy in this life. Blessed. Not affected by circumstances. It's the Apostle Paul speaking to the people at Philippi in Philippians 4 when he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. He's in prison. It's Paul and Silas in Philippi singing and praying to God at midnight in prison, in a dungeon. Electric lights weren't on. They weren't even in existence. But even the light they had could not be seen where they were. Blessed are the meek, not the weak, Not the person who's timid, we might say, is afraid of his own shadow. Definition of meek from those that define words. Mild, gentle. Bedell Scott says mild, soft, meek, gentle. Thayer said gentle, mild, and meek. Abbott Smith, gentle and meek. Seems like most folks agree on gentle and meek, but meek is the same word. And I was taught you don't define a word by using the same word. But mild or gentle or kind, oh, to be like thee, a good song to sing, isn't it? A good song to think about the words when we sing it. Look at those words again next time when you sing that song. We generally think of the word meek. I know back in I'm going to age myself, but back in the day, that was Wally Cox. This day and time, and he's a little out of our time, would be Barney Fife, wouldn't it? Timid, oh, you could scare him by saying boo. You know, because you just know he would be afraid. And anything would, you know. And he won't give him but one bullet for his gun because he's just a scary individual. That's not the kind of attitude and quality of life that Jesus is speaking about. Somebody that's spineless. That's not the person that's meek. We say sometimes about a person we think is meek, well, they're meek as a mouse. They're not even as meek as a rat. They're meek as a mouse. Small. Mouse will flitter right off. And something comes around. He said, thinking about meekness, we're not likely to be born with this character, the quality. It's not something that, you know, seems like I remember that Ben Franklin had a certain amount, a number of qualities that he wanted to have in his life. It seemed like as I was reading somewhere, or maybe I dreamed about it. But it seemed like he was going to work on one at a time. He was going to work on being kind. He was going to work on loving. Of course, these things have to kind of work together, don't they? This has to work together. The attitude of heart has to be receptive to this type of thinking. Not likely to be obtained from most of the people that we hang out with. If we're still on the job working, or if we're in school, or wherever. Most people are not going to be meek. Now, meekness is a word that's listed in Galatians 5:22-23. And it's listed as a fruit of the Spirit. And I have those written down. You can turn over there, but I've got it written down so we can move along with them. But notice the other words that are included in the same list as meekness. A lot of times we can see about what a word means by the words it's associated with. Now, earlier in chapter 5, you can look at some other words that are talked about as the works of the flesh. And you can tell they're kind of kin to one another. Well, these words are kind of all the same family. Meekness, joy, love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. They're all kind of soft-type words, aren't they? Now, we look to the Old Testament. Sometimes it's good to have an example before you. And try to think of someone that was meek. Now, this particular individual, I found the word meekness used in connection with him, but he would not have been the one that would have come to my mind. Let's use him as an example. Numbers 12 and verse 3, God's word tells us, now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. That's meek. That's a gentle, kind individual above. Now, this was in Numbers 12, verse 3. Now, remember, you got Exodus as the people go out of the land of bondage, out of Egypt, being led by Moses. He's, 140 years old, 80 years old, maybe, I guess, 140 times he dies. Yeah, I believe that's it. But was Moses meek by nature? How come Moses is called meek? I mean, there was an occasion not too many years back when he was, I think, age 40, sent out into the wilderness to take care of sheep, or not in the wilderness, but out away from other people, because he had killed an Egyptian. He had slain an Egyptian. I doubt if that Egyptian would have said, yeah, Moses is the meekest fellow I ever met. No, it took some time. It took some power on the part of God, God's providence involved. And it took some learning. There's a learning curve, a lot of these things, isn't there? Remember, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 11, Paul there was talking about contentment. I think we mentioned it earlier. He said, I have learned in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. And that word learn sticks out to me. It didn't early on in my life. But I've learned differently now. There are certain things that we have to learn. We can't say, well, I'm going to be 20, by the time I'm 25 years old, I'm going to be meek as a lamb. I'm going to be content with everything in my life. No, it's something that you learn. And anything you learn, any college students here will know that you got to spend some time with it. Some people have to spend more than one semester with the same course to do that. I don't know of any, Jenny, but I just mean. It's a thing that's learned. Peter was not by nature meek. Was he meek when he began to curse and swear after he had denied Jesus for the third time and heard the rooster crow just like Jesus said? No, Peter wasn't too meek, was he? Remember what he did when the Bible says he remembered the word of Jesus. And upon hearing the rooster crow, the Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly because of his actions. Here was one of the men, one of the three closest apostles to the Lord. And the Lord was being taken before men and being tried this very night. And Peter said, I don't even know him. And was using curse words to deny. Certainly wasn't meek at an early time when in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he awakened from one of his naps that he was taking while Jesus was praying, because the soldiers had come to take him, officers had. Peter thought, boy, this is where I rise to the occasion. And he cut off the high priest's ear, Malchus. Jesus had to put his ear back on for him. I doubt Malchus would say, you know, that boy Peter's going to go far as a person exemplifying meekness. No. I don't know why. Why did Peter have a sword? Maybe to kill snakes or whatever, but Peter wasn't very meek on those occasions. But you know, as time went on, there were some changes in Peter's life. In Acts 4, verses 5 and following, the Jewish leaders of Jerusalem, they were getting after the apostles and those who were following this cult leader, Jesus. They were teaching all about Jesus, who had been slain, who had been crucified, and they were saying that he had been resurrected by God. And they were saying things that... And speaking in ways and knowing scriptures from the Old Testament that it didn't seem that they would know based upon their education, but it says they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, such boldness they had. And I'm sure as Peter taught about Jesus, he had to speak about the meek and the lowly nature of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, the heart of Jesus as he was interested in all mankind. The one that they had by wicked hands crucified and slain. That was the Jesus that Peter was preaching and teaching. The writings of the Christians in 1 Peter 5 and 1. Peter explains to them at that later date that he was an elder of the church. I would suppose that he calmed down quite a bit over the years. He was an elder of the church. He possessed the qualifications to be the one accountable for the souls in that early church, likely in Jerusalem. Christian meekness might be looked at it twofold, toward God and toward man. You know, before Mary, or while she was with child before the birth of Jesus, in Luke 1:38, an angel spoke to her. And she said, angel of the Lord spoke to her. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Meekness, an act of submission of the will to God when it comes to spiritual matters. That would be meekness. And Paul would exhibit meekness in an attitude expressed in Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet no longer I, but Christ lives in me. I am meek and lowly in heart. You sing that song, don't you? Speaking of Jesus, you'll have rest for your soul. Meekness toward men. When Paul wrote to encourage and strengthen Titus, as Titus had been sent to the Isle of Crete to teach Christians. And he told him in chapter 3 of Titus, verses 1 and 2, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness. Showing all meekness unto all men. Those who preached the word and taught those who were totally against the Christ, some didn't believe in the Christ at all. Some hadn't believed in God, the ones that were Gentiles. But he had false gods. Paul said, you preach to them with meekness. You preach about meekness. You show meekness in yourselves. When we show meekness to others, we show a consideration for them, don't we? This is something I guess we all can learn. Something I can learn. Sometimes I don't have, my fuse is a little short at times when I'm uptight about something. Does a meek individual ever show anger? Did Jesus ever show anger? Oh, I've heard some preachers call it righteous indignation. Anger. When he ran the money changers out of the temple, you think he was smiling? I think there was some anger involved. I think he wanted them to know that when he said, you're not supposed to do business like this in my Father's house, he meant it. When he turned the tables over, he meant get those tables out of here right now. You're not supposed to exchange money that you have for the people's money that they're bringing in. You're not supposed to sell these sacrifices and make all kind of money and have that kind of greed in your heart. And you're supposed to not do it in the Lord's house. Out of here. And I think they knew he meant business. Now, he had the moral strength to keep his anger from turning to hatred. You know, that's where maybe we have a problem. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Ephesians 4:26-27. Be ye angry and sin not. So that anger does arrive. I mean, we have to admit it. You know, we can say, well, you're not supposed to be angry. You show me somebody that's never gotten angry at something. And I'll show you just a blob over here. You know, you've got to get your hair on the back of your neck is going to stand up sometimes. You got to be upset about certain things. I'm upset about the way this country's going. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down your wrath. Get it out. Get it over with. Anger can eat you up, can't it? Anger can turn into hatred. Hatred can turn into actions. Oh, I saw this. I don't know what it was on, but this woman was at a bride at her wedding, got upset. Didn't like the way things were going. Somehow she caused an uproar. The police came in. She was against the police then. She refused to be arrested. She was still cursing and everything when they got her in the jail cell. And the TV showed her later, you know, 2 or 3 years later, she's still married and had a kid then. She said, "Boy, you know, how am I going to explain that to my son? I hope he never sees that." She was drunk. She was under the influence, but she got angry. She got totally out of control. And the sun did go down on that wrath. I'm sure she sobered up in a day or two and wondered, why in the world did I do that? And why in the world did it get on national TV? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's possibly a twofold reference here. Shall enjoy the earth more fully while in it. Look at John 10:10. Got it marked, I think, so I'll be getting there fast. John 10:10. Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd and being the door to the sheepfold, and about people, the sheep being followers of his. Said in verse 10 of chapter 10. John 10:10. The thief cometh not for to steal and kill and destroy. I'm come that they might have life. Lord, I have a different purpose. I that it might have life. Those that are my sheep, those that follow me, those that are in my fold, have life and have it more abundantly. Now, what is he talking? Well, let's look. Peter maybe interprets that for a little bit for us. 1 Peter 3:10-12. He that will love life and see good days after the judgment in heaven, I think it's now. Because, you see, it's during a period of time when I must refrain my tongue for evil. You're not going to be thinking about speaking tongues of evil up in heaven. Surely. He that will love life, see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips to speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And his ears are open unto the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against. That means his eyes don't see you, and his ears are not open to the prayers. The face of the Lord is against those that do evil. So that we can see good life, to see life and see good days. The Bible still says, Romans 8, I believe it's 28, for all things work together for good, those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. Not all things going to be good all the time. You can ask these people about their flooded homes. Some of you may have had water come up in your homes. Not all, though, that's not good. All things work together for good, though. How? You're going to have to talk to God about all that. I don't know all the answers. I used to think I knew a whole lot more of them than I run. When the kids were growing up, I had to know, you know, I had to know everything then. So Peter said, if you love life, see good days, then you need to be careful how the tongue is wagging. Jesus could have reference also to the new earth. And I'll just give you the places it's mentioned. 2 Peter 3:13 and Revelation 21:1. talks about a new heaven and a new earth. We're to be given a new body. 1 Corinthians 15, the old body will be raised. Spiritual body, I'm assuming that heaven and earth is not, you know, necessarily going to have green grass on earth and trees and stuff like that. I don't know. Be a new one. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Question was asked according to an article I read, and it was first in the Western Recorder. I don't even know what that is, but that was the reference. Question was asked of a missionary in Jamaica as he was giving the test to his students. He asked one of the students, said, "Who are the meek?" And this is the boy's answer. "Those who give soft answers to rough questions." Those who give soft answers to rough questions. Solomon will say in Psalm 15:1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath." That's what meekness is all about. Strength under control. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This morning, if there's one here not a Christian, you haven't studied on your own or studied with someone, you realize that you're lost in your sins without the blood-stained cross of Calvary and the Jesus blood that was shed there for forgiveness of your sins, why not come this morning confessing your sins, repenting of those sins, based on your belief in Jesus, and then being baptized based upon that faith. To rise and walk in newness of life, and to walk as a new creature in Christ. If as a Christian you need our prayers and wish to rededicate your life to Christ, you have that opportunity to do that this morning as Jerry leads us in the song selected. Shall we stand?